Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. The LA Steel Show here with Lila. And we are going to moving furniture over here. Trying to make some room. And we got a lot of news for you tonight. We got a special interview with Dr. Cass Ingram coming up around 8:30. And he's got a new book out called The Fraud of Islamic Terror. And talks about the infiltration of our government by Mossad agents and a lot of different problems that we're facing with false flag operations and misleading terrorist attacks that are caused by Israel and the United States and blamed on Islamic people, and we go into that tonight. We also have a couple of interesting articles we're going to talk about. And if I can find them.
Well, right now I have one from BostonGawk.com, and this is what cities and towns can expect.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Basic services in jeopardy. This is by Eric Moskowitz from the Globe staff. Brace yourself. Cities and towns across the state, and by the state they mean Massachusetts, expect to lay off thousands of employees. The impact will be widespread and highly visible. Shorter hours and longer waits at town halls, larger class sizes, and more potholes. Nearly every community is going to see blood, said Mayor John Barrett III of North Adams, Massachusetts, who expects to limp through June, but anticipates having to close one or more schools and lay off a significant number of city workers after that. The massive cutbacks come as state and local governments respond to the rapidly worsening economy. Last Friday, Governor Deval Patrick announced that he was cutting local aid to cities and towns by $128 million for the current fiscal year. And he proposed an additional $375 million tax cut for the fiscal year that begins July 1st. The cuts are part of Patrick's larger plan to close the widening state budget gap and craft a balanced budget for next year. Roughly $1 of every $5 spent by Massachusetts state government goes to cities and towns to help their local budgets, paying for everything from classroom teachers to trash collection. Recognizing the importance of that aid, Patrick said he plans to cut more steeply from other sections of the state budget. But local spending will still take a beating, with construction and renovation projects grinding to a halt, auto sales tanking, and tourism and business travel in a slump. The money communities generate on their own from excise and hotel taxes, buildings permits, and taxes on new property is being hit hard. The picture was not rosy, said Roy E. Belson, Medford school superintendent, and one of hundreds of officials who listened to a stark keynote panel at a conference last week of state school administrators entitled Preparing for Tough Fiscal Times. Afterwards, nearly every school superintendent raised a hand when asked if they expected to lay off teachers. If you weren't depressed going in, you'd be depressed going out. Recently, history shows what could be in store. About 14,500 teachers, firefighters, librarians, and other local employees lost their jobs as a result of the state's last economic downturn in a cycle of cuts imposed by then-Governor Mitt Romney that reduced local aid by more than $500 million between 2002 and 2004. In the ensuing recovery, lawmakers reinstituted some but not all of the aid, and many cities and towns were unable to fully restore staffing and service levels. They were also constrained by government cuts, such as health insurance and utilities, that rose faster than inflation and faster than they could raise money under Proposition 2.5, which caps the additional property tax revenue a community can raise yearly at 2.5%, not counting taxes raised from new real estate development. This is not a pleasant time to be a municipal leader, said Reverend Mayor Thomas J. Ambrosio in office for a decade. Some cities and towns will make dramatic, immediate cuts to balance budgets for the current fiscal year, which ends June 30th, several local officials said. Other communities will be able to endure this year by spending reserve funds or by not filling vacancies before taking much larger action for the new fiscal year starting July 1st. Even Nantucket, that little island off of Massachusetts, is having trouble generating taxes from summer. Who gets their taxes from summer homes is worried. We have not had the layoff discussions in as serious a manner as we're having it now in my tenure, said C. Elizabeth Gibson, Nantucket town manager since 1995. It's looming right now. Factors beyond our control are hurting us all, said Boston Mayor Thomas M. Menino, from North Adams to Plymouth, Lowell to Chicopee. The numbers surely aren't pretty. Menino made his remarks in an address to hundreds of mayors and selectmen and administrators Friday at the annual conference of the Massachusetts Municipal Association, the statewide organization of town and city officials. Aside from the impact on local services, layoffs will take a severe toll on employees, their families, and local economies. Whether you like it or not, whether you think government spends too much, that's an awful lot of money taking out of the economy, and that has a spin-off in every local community. Revere, like many communities, already has imposed a hiring freeze as employees leave through retirement or other departures. The city has also cut overtime, so public work tasks like tree removal and pothole repair take longer to be addressed, Revere's mayor said. We're trying to squirrel away money for the mid-year cut, Ambrosio said, but that won't offset the more than $1.2 million loss this year from local aid. The mayor said the mix of layoffs and other measures could include the possible closure of City Hall on Fridays. After avoiding layoffs for several years, Medford last summer eliminated nearly 50 school positions, about half of them teachers. Mayor Michael J. McGlynn initially prepared for more education layoffs and proposed public safety reduction, but avoided them through one-shot measures like soliciting private donations and redirecting some money associated with the sale of a school building. Now, bracing for an immediate local aid cut of more than $1 million and a larger cut next year, McGlynn anticipates multiple rounds of layoffs. We just don't have $2 million that's sitting around, he said. McGlynn said laying off the newest employees, according to union contracts, will hurt young families and new homeowners, potentially exacerbating the mortgage problems that contributed to this recession. Still, local officials said they consider Patrick an ally. They overwhelmingly favor the governor's new proposals to allow them to raise money through means other than property tax, and to rein in fast-growing fixed costs. Those proposals, which installed in the legislature last session, include additional room and meal taxes and curbing health insurance costs. The measures, coupled with potential aid from the federal economic stimulus package, are unlikely to be enacted in time to avoid the immediate cuts. In Franklin, staffing is already about 85% of what it was 6 years ago, which means fewer police offices and a library open 6 days a week instead of seven. Recently, the town stopped salting side roads during winter storms, preserving salt for the busiest thoroughfares. That choice was easy compared with what lies ahead, said Jeffrey D. Nutting, Franklin's town administrator and the new president of the Massachusetts Municipal Association. We're going to have all kinds of decisions that were never even talked about or thought about, he said. So I guess
it's pretty funny. It's Massachusetts is our neighbor. We live in Connecticut here.
Mm.
It's right across the border.
So
towns are
talking about layoffs of school teachers and other school personnel,
and every
cutting of public services, closing town halls.
Obama's tax subset, Obama's thing has got $46 billion in it, which I'm hoping this is supposedly got passed tonight. I don't know if it did or not.
Oh, it did. No, that was in the House. It has to go to the Senate.
I know. So it got passed in the House. That's $46 billion going to schools to hire teachers and pay for teacher salaries and stuff, which is really, that's good,
Mm-hmm.
And then there's others, big money going into rebuilding schools, because some schools are in such bad shape. They have to be rebuilt, especially in the inner cities. Some of those are horrible and rural. But I think the stimulus package makes a lot of sense if you look at what.
Well, it's only the first of many.
There's
two more economic packages around the corner that they haven't even talked about.
I know.
The media hasn't talked about; they've just hinted.
Well, even the politicians haven't talked about it either.
Well,
they've brought it up. It's probably on the planning board, but hopefully they won't need it. But they
don't know. I think one is for the banks.
Yeah.
Another.
There's damn banks. I would like to see them fold. And just take over the banks. Nationalize the banks and industry and print our
own
money.
If they couldn't make it,
nationalize the banking industry and print our own money.
That would solve the problem.
That would solve everything. And that would be instead of bailing these bastards out. There's a short article here I thought I'd read. Anybody thinks that Barack Obama hasn't done any military stuff yet? Well, he did. The president orders airstrikes on a village in a tribal area. Some people may know about this, but now that this is from The Guardian.
Yeah, it was only 3 days or 4 days after he took office.
Yeah.
They didn't say too much about it.
And this came out Saturday of last week, but I picked it up yesterday. Barack Obama gave the go-ahead for his first military action yesterday, missile strikes against suspected militants in Pakistan, which killed at least 8 people. 4 days after assuming the presidency, he was consulted by U.S. commanders before they launched the 2 attacks. Although Obama has abandoned many of the war on terror policies of George Bush while he was president, he is not retreating from the hunt for Osama bin Laden and other al-Qaeda leaders. Now, this is where I think he's wrong, because most people by now know that al-Qaeda is a CIA, is a CIA package, and always has been. And it's just a psyops. Osama bin Laden, if he's alive or dead, who the hell knows? Nobody really cares. And what bothers me is Obama himself said that he didn't really care, about bin Laden. He
mm-hmm.
said that a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't care about him. But the only reason these guys care about anything about to do with Pakistan is because Pakistan's holding on to 100 nuclear bombs. And, they're probably going to, and they want to take over the regime and steady that up. There's no question in my mind. And they're using al-Qaeda as the
excuse.
As the excuse, right?
That's a very weak president.
Well, yeah. The U.S. believes they are hiding in the tribal areas along the border with Afghanistan and made 30 strikes last year in which more than 200 people were killed. In the election, Obama hinted at increased operations in Pakistan, saying he thought Bush had made a mistake in switching to Iraq before completing the job against al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and Pakistan. U.S. Marine Corps commander said yesterday that his 22,000 troops could be redeployed from Iraq to Afghanistan. General James Conway said the time is right to leave Iraq now. The war had become largely nation-building rather than the pitched fighting in which the Corps excelled. He wanted the Marines in Afghanistan, especially in the south, where insurgents and Taliban and al-Qaeda benefit from both a nearby safe haven in Pakistan and a booming trade in narcotics. Obama has warned that he is prepared to bomb inside Pakistan if he gets relevant intelligence about the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. But he also said that he would act against militants along the border if the Pakistan government failed to. And U.S. missiles were fired at unmanned predator drones by unmanned predator drones, which hang in the sky gathering intelligence through surveillance, and then, and when commanded and directed by remote control to launch attacks. The strike will help Obama portray himself as a leader who, though ready to shift the balance of American power toward diplomacy, is not afraid of military actions. And the first attack yesterday was on the village of Zarqi in Waristan. Three missiles destroyed two houses and killed 10 people. One villager told Reuters on the phone that of nine bodies pulled from the rubble of one house, six were its owners and his relatives. Reuters added that intelligence officials said some foreign militants were also killed. A second attack, hours later, also in Waristan, killed eight people. The Pakistan government publicly expressed hope that the arrivals of Obama would see a halt to such strikes, which stir up hostility from Pakistanis toward the government. If in private, the government may be more relaxed about such attacks. There is a lot of nervousness in the new administration about the fragility of Pakistan, particularly as it has nuclear weapons, but it also sees Afghanistan and Pakistan as being linked in the face of Taliban resurgence. There is despair in Washington over the leadership of the Afghan leaders, Ahmad Karzai, and there will not be much disappointment if he is replaced in elections later this year. But Washington insists on seeing as one of the biggest problems the ability of the Taliban and al-Qaeda to maintain havens in Pakistan. Obama on Thursday announced he was making veteran diplomat Richard Holbrooke a special envoy to Pakistan and Afghanistan. And the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, spoke by phone to the Pakistan President, Asad Ali Zardari. I think it's funny. I think it's interesting. Instead of sending Hillary, he's sending all these envoys. You notice that?
Hmm.
Hillary's doing nothing. She's sitting on her ass and decorating her new office.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange.
Yeah, he's got McConnell.
Mitchell.
McConnell. He's got McConnell. I think the guy's name is McConnell. He's going to the peace to Palestine there and trying to negotiate that peace.
I thought his name was Mitchell.
Mitchell McConnell?
No.
Mitch McConnell? No, Mitch McConnell is the...
George Mitchell.
George Mitchell.
Yes.
George Mitchell?
Something like that.
Oh, I think it was McConnell. I mean, George Mitchell.
You're thinking of Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell is in the... he's the leader of the Republican...
Yeah, that's... Party. No, it's George Mitchell.
The Senate. George Mitchell. Okay,
He's going to Palestine.
He's going to Palestine. He's the envoy there.
Because he was the one that brokered a truce between the British with the IRA. That was his claim to fame.
Kind of makes you laugh. Where the hell Tony Blair is? Because Tony, you don't hear anything.
He
about
was
him
the
now.
Appointed guy for
Palestine, right? To make that, to patch up that to try to get.
Well, nobody likes him. He's like Bush. Yeah.
Now they're sending over this guy, where's the babe here? Where's our Hillary babe? Huh?
Yeah, I thought she was supposed to be Secretary of State.
Yeah, she's just gonna delegate shit. I guarantee she ain't gonna get involved unless it gets really hairy.
Well, she's standing back. Standing back to see how it goes. She doesn't want to be associated with failure.
Yeah, they're not jumping right in there. They're sending
special
a couple of guys.
Okay, from Press TV, British protesters briefly occupied...
Not like Condi, who jumped right in with her spiked heels and
BBC.
Boots.
And her piano.
And started whipping people.
And her piano.
Yeah.
An anti-war group has occupied the Glasgow offices of the BBC in protest at the broadcaster's decision not to air a Gaza fundraising appeal. The British Stop the War Coalition said it had about 100 people in the foyer of the BBC's Glasgow offices on Sunday, occupying the place for nearly 2 hours. The occupation follows criticism from lawmakers, celebrities, and religious leaders. They believe the BBC's decision not to air an advertisement from the Disasters Emergency Committee, a group of charities that includes Red Cross, Oxfam, and Save the Children, was wrong. British actress Samantha Morton, who joined several celebrities at a central London fundraiser for the British ad agency Medical Aid for Palestinians, said she was embarrassed to earn money from a corporation that would take such a disgusting decision. "I'm so appalled. It's a public service. People have the right to raise money in this way on the television for the people that are in need. It's not a political thing," the 31-year-old Golden Globe winner and Oscar nominee said on Sunday. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, and another senior church leader have also called on the British Broadcasting Corporation to air the charity appeal. Meanwhile, a parliamentary petition signed by more than 50 lawmakers, which is to be introduced in the House of Commons on Monday, seemed likely to add more pressure on the broadcaster to run the ad. The BBC claims it rejected the advertisement because of concerns that showing it might harm its reputation for impartiality. The corporation also added that it is unsure that the money raised would reach those in need in the impoverished Palestinian enclave. However, rival channels, ITV, Channel 4, and 5, have said they will show the DEC charity appeal. Sky said it is not yet to, said it had yet to decide. The BBC, which is funded by an obligatory license fee paid by every British household with a television set, has previously given airtime to the Disasters Emergency Committee. Appeals have raised millions of U.S. dollars for people affected by war and natural disasters in Congo, Myanmar, and elsewhere. So, let's hope that after that occupation of their offices that they see the light and allow them to raise money for the Palestinians. They had a weak argument against it, very, very weak. So what else do we have here?
I'm just going through this, and I can't understand it, really. Looking at the pro-business tax breaks for the stimulus that they announced yesterday and the bill today, that's going through the House, but I don't know.
Did I underline some things there?
Well,
I went
might,
through this.
Yeah, I know you did, but I not very much.
No, I
but,
guess
but
not.
But it's more. I wanted to itemize it, but we don't have a whole lot of time left because I wanted to get to the interview. But the items that I think are important to note is that. There's $275 billion proposed tax cuts and credits to be put in Obama's bill, all right, stimulus plan to jolt the U.S. economy back to life. And the Senate Finance Committee, a tax writing panel in the House of Representatives, passed earlier this week. It added some provisions desperately sought by corporate America, however, and would waive tax collection on unemployment benefits extended to millions of out-of-work Americans, which is a good thing, you know, because they take taxes off your unemployment.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can say yes or no, but if it's no, you have to pay them anyway.
You have to pay them at the end of the year, so you might as well have it taken out.
Right. So what he's trying to do is stop taxes being taken out of the
unemployment
benefits, and we're just giving them a little more money. And the Senate legislation would provide one-time payments of $300 to Americans who are collecting Social Security or disability checks from the government. This country is in a world of economic hurt, said Congress has to act boldly now to stabilize the situation. Baucus announced his measure shortly after top Democrats and Republicans in the Congress met with Obama. I don't think we'll be able to meet the president's deadline of getting the package in by mid-February. Obama agreed to meet with Republican lawmakers next week to hear their suggestions. And the Senate bill, like the House version, incorporates Obama's Makes Work Pay proposal, giving back $500 to most individual tax filers and $1,000 to most joint filers through a temporary holiday in collection of some payroll taxes. In Obama's plan, money should go into 95% of all Americans, but Republicans want 5% with the highest incomes to get something back too.
I'd like to know why. Have plenty of money, so
We already gave them a huge tax credit through the Bush plan for the last 8 years.
And we didn't. Why, and the rest of the people didn't get anything, so why should they get something now?
And what the Republicans want is they want to take it away from the people that, like the poor Social Security people and stuff like that, and give it to the guys who are making the big bucks.
Or the people who make such little money that they don't even pay any taxes.
That's right.
They don't want them to have anything
at all. So why are Republicans such assholes? That is my question. You know, why are Republicans assholes? I don't know. You know, they were just born that way. You know, most people are born with a head and an arm.
All right, Leo. Republicans are born with assholes.
I'm sorry.
I don't like that.
I'm sorry. That's what they are.
You're rude and disgusting.
I don't understand what's wrong with
you. You're rude and disgusting. And, you know, if you want to criticize someone, fine. But don't do it in such a crude manner. Do it with intelligence.
Okay. So what are Republicans intelligently? Speak, Lila. You have a forum.
I just told you I don't like that kind of criticism.
Well, criticize a Republican for me. They are loving, wonderful
people with
great morals and who like to kill cats.
Is that what it is? No, I don't want to criticize them personally. I don't like their ideas.
Well, why do they come up with crap like this?
Because they're only interested in giving back to themselves. That's why.
Gee, that's a criticism. Oh, okay. Well, rather than spending too much, too late, the Congressional Democrats' proposal let the American people get more of what they earn to spur investment, encourage savings, and create more private sector jobs. Okay. Well, anyway, so you're going to get back something. Whether we're going to get back everything, we don't know. The House and Senate bills include a $7,500 tax credit for first-time homebuyers who purchase homes in the first half of this year. This wouldn't have to be repaid. The Senate is more expansive for energy production and environmental preservation efforts, and dedicated to that about $31 billion in tax credits and incentives versus $20 million in the House version. So, anyway, that's the news for tonight. And we are going to go to our interview with Dr. Cass Ingram. And he talks about the fraud of Islamic terror, which is his latest book.
I think we're going to have a second interview with him next week, hopefully. So this will be part one.
Yeah, this is
if he can fit it into his schedule.
Yeah. So we may have him next week as well. So catch this. We hope you enjoy it, and we'll be back right after.
Is that so, Leo?
Good evening, Dr.
Good evening.
Lila and Leo, how are y'all doing?
Oh, we're doing just fine. It's
great to talk to you all again, and we've had too deep of an intermission, I think.
Yeah, we were thinking about you and missing you and wondering what you were doing, and we suspected you were continuing writing and probing and doing some exciting
things. Yes, I just finished. As you know, Wrongly Blamed is still a very important manuscript. 95% of American people still somehow think that individual Arabic people attack the United States because they don't believe in, or because of, you know, they're mad at us because of what we represent, that story that George Bush told.
Yes.
So that's still a very important thing.
Oh, yes, definitely.
That's the basis by which all of our rights are being taken away from, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, it's what spurred the Patriot Act and...
It caused the enactment of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the fraud of Islamic terror, which I completed my leg of it. It's now being looked at the final edit. So that's going to press, hopefully, as they say, inshallah, in a week or two. So between those two books, you'll have the complete ability to refute everything that mother media attempts to impose upon us.
Mm-hmm.
then that's a very powerful tool. Because, again, the basis of the attack on American people and Western people is the mantra of Islamic terror.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and we had, I just read a short little article that Obama, one of the first things that he did was he approved some drones to drop some devices on Afghanistan, and some people were killed.
Definitely.
So that he did that, I guess, 4 days after he was elected.
Well, it wouldn't be a surprise that Zbigniew Brzezinski, the arch-Zionist architect of, to a large degree, the Vietnam War, and certainly, you know, attempts to conquer the Middle East, certainly attempts to maintain the Shah of Iran in power.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Zbigniew Pol Pot. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less than such a tyrannical regime with its history in the past, but that to, you know, increase tyranny. I mean, you've got the very man who put Pol Pot in power and actually bragged about maintaining him in power, said he encouraged the Chinese to arm Pol Pot, but this is the guy who puts up this individual in power. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
If these individuals are willing to boldface create a coup over the American people, what wouldn't they do to the American people? They've already stolen.
Well, here's something more frightening than that. I found have known for some time, and I've done a lot of study on it, and I've been reluctant to mention it until now because you're pushing it to that level, and I believe that the Jesuit involvement in this has been the most unreported area that has ever been for something such a vast conspiracy. There's
no lack of devils to go around.
No, absolutely. But the Jesuits. What have you in your research come up with any verification?
Well, I mean, the real power broker are the Zionists. I mean, obviously Rothschild's arch Zionist. He put the Zionist bank in power. And
right. Well, there's basically your Jesuit order.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a subsidiary, really, when you look at it, because the ultimate autocratic that's hammering at the... I mean, who destroyed the USS Liberty, after all?
Oh, yeah.
Who blew up the American facilities in Egypt in the 50s?
Right.
Who blew up the King David Hotel? Who used terror to drive the British out of Palestine?
You know, I don't know.
Those are the Zionists.
I don't know if you... I know that you're familiar with Rents.com.
Oh, I know.
But they had a... They had a great article today. It was called Zionist Jews, Godfathers of Terrorism. It was by a guy named Latif Farouk. But it was a 26-page article that, went through the history of the terrorism by the Jewish...
You got to look who's pulling the trigger.
Right. Mm-hmm. He talks about it all, I'll tell you. He goes right down to the...
Which
you mentioned before on the show, Menachem Begin and so on.
I was the first to publish showing that the Zionists destroyed the World Trade Center in terms of an actual definitive text, and that's wrongly blamed. And there are others who've done wonderful work like Batfi and others, and it's all good work. Now, the reason I say that is because there are a number of people now who are hiding under certain names that sound Christian, and they're publishing the Vatican did it syndrome. And now that's caused, and then they undercovered some of those, and one of them was an Israeli diamond dealer. So the whole Vatican Jesuit thrust is coming from the Zionists.
I gotcha.
And they're attempting to divert blame because bottom line is Netanyahu killed all those people on September 11th. They don't want that known because he's scheduled to be the next Zionist emperor.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is Larry Silverstein committed premeditated murder.
The owner of the trade.
Well, yeah, he pulled. He pushed the button.
Yeah.
And Lowy, Australia's Lowy, is who bought the lease on the Marriott and World Trade Center number 3. He's an Israeli explosives expert. He coordinated the detonatory, acts. Bottom line is Eisenberg's involved. That means Rockefeller's involved. That means that Nick Rockefeller spoke the truth in 2000 when he said, "Hey, there's going to be an event, and that event will lead to, basically a pseudo-martial law, and we'll have our coup, we'll install the Patriot Act. I mean, there's something he talked in a little bit of code there, but what he did say, besides that there will be an event, that there will be a phony war, it's all fake,
mm-hmm.
of troops running into caves in Afghanistan and elsewhere, and it's all phony. There won't be any terrorists there. We've made it up. And so you have a coup, and you know who committed the coup, and it was a bloodletting of a coup, and babies were killed, and pregnant women were killed. Everything that Darius seen was, this was like 10 Darius scenes. The same Irgun, Haganah, Steinbet, Sinbet, the same miserable terrorists, the same, Jewish terrorists, same cartel, did it. And they have put up so many disguises that most people don't know it. It wouldn't be difficult, if you had a discerning mind, to determine it.
Mm.
But the real difficulty is that this country is infested with Mossad agents. And they're nothing more than Jewish spies. A lot of people say Mossad, but what they really are Israeli spies who work for a very powerful group of people.
Mm.
They get paid well to do their dirty tricks. They get paid sometimes millions of dollars in bank accounts, and we've traced one $26.5 million for one Zionist spy that claimed to have died on an airplane, in the World Trade Center strike. And Alona Abraham has $27 million sitting in a Nigerian bank. So these are the kinds of individuals you're dealing with.
Who's Winona?
They've invaded this country. They have conquered it by proxy. They then create terror attacks to get the public, the ignorant public, behind them. Then they drive those people off to commit wars. And Henry Kissinger said it. We don't need to conspiracize over it. He said Americans are stupid, dumb, useless eaters to be used. And I quote Alexander Haig, who reported it through Bob Woodward in the White House.
I also want you to make.
Did you say that was the American people, or did you say that was
American people specifically?
Military.
Useless eaters to be used in the military campaigns for the Zionist world order. He referred to the American people as nothing more than cannon fodder.
Mm-hmm.
That Henry Kissinger is a spy.
Yeah.
He's a Jewish spy. He works for the Rothschilds. To a lesser degree, the Rockefellers.
I know how you feel about things, but our listeners may be confused. You're not talking about the Jewish religion, or when you're talking about Zionists, which is a geopolitical movement, which is different from their religion, and they've even abused their own people.
Well, the Naim Gilad, Iraqi Jew, has the book about Ben-Gurion's crimes.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in New York, and he posts on the Internet. He's a real good guy, and he's knowledgeable. He fell into the Zionist movement and decided to work against his people and help the Zionists to drive his people out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
The Haganah and Shin Bet and the Irgun, etc., planted bombs in Iraq. They planted bombs in the synagogues. They planted bombs in the mosques. And that was strictly a Zionist attack on the Jewish people of Iraq. That's a whole other thing, the actual Jewish people who live in peace in certain countries, right?
Right.
Now, they drove those people out, and then they abused them and treated them like second-class citizens. And you know about the irradiation that they ran them through, all that irradiation.
Yes, I do, and I know that they're very racist. They don't like dark-colored Jews.
No, and so they're victims. But when you say Muslim terrorist, nobody has to explain it. Nobody has to say, well, you don't really mean all Muslim. So what's the big deal? These people are Jewish terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
They are addicted to the Zionist machinations, which is a godless thing. We can sit and talk all day long about Christianity and Islam and Judaism, and we should do that at some point. But what we're dealing with is murder. We're dealing with people who are cloaking themselves.
Mm-hmm.
People who are causing the murder of the Islamic people en masse. Babies, children, and elderly, as well as just thousands of people every month. And at some point, tens of thousands in a month have been killed on the basis of rallying patriotic fervor in the West to go attack these countries on the basis that the Muslims attacked the West. Now,
it's crazy. I mean, all the evidence shows that they actually never had any weapons of mass destruction. You know, and it's between you and I, and you know, I have praised Mohammadinejad since he first stood up to George Bush, and I praised Putin when he stood up side by side with Iran,
yeah.
You know, against Bush, because you know they had no right. There was no right for them to go to war with Iran or stop Iran, you know, for doing whatever the hell it wanted to do.
Let's put it in perspective. Would the American people feel good if a foreign national of a hostile, let's not say religion, but hostile way,
hostile nation,
hostile entity,
right?
A foreign national was under cloak as if he was a Christian. Let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
He then uses the hostile one's monies and convinces the God-fearing Christian people that he's a great guy and he's a savior, messiah, a rescuer, there will be change, and then that person is installed in power, but secretly the person's a Jew. Secretly the person is, say, an Islamic person. But they disguised it. Not that it's bad to be an A or a B or a C, that's not, but to cloak it. To disguise it, to hide it. Case in point, the Shah of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The Shah of Iran was under cloak. When he was finally ousted, and when he landed in the United States after being shuffled around, who came to support him and carried him off that plane and housed him? One Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller, my friends. The Shah of Iran was a Zionist Jew. He was a Russian Jew. He was put under cloak as if he was a Muslim. Read Pollock's Jewish Shah. He came from Russia as a Jew. He was always a Jew, and he was imposed on a nation of 40 million Muslims. Now, we would say, oh, we would never tolerate that, having a foreign national, you know, a Russian or a Chinaman installed in power. Well, you just got one.
Explain that.
Well, you've got an individual that's a foreign national, we do, who's supposed to be a president. Now, His Excellency Barack Obama, we know he's in theory in that position, but how can he be a president if he's not a citizen? He's the first non-citizen president.
But all the appeals so far have been denied, and they have claimed that his citizenship is accurate. The last one was out in Hawaii, and there was one, I think, from Virginia.
There's one in Pennsylvania that's...
No, but the point is, look at this. Americans would say we would never tolerate that. We would never allow a Chinaman, an atheist even, a Russian, a Muslim. Perhaps they wouldn't even accept it. They might accept a Jew if they elected the Jew, but not if the Jew is cloaking himself as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but
no.
But here again, I mean, basing it on the religious aspect. You know, Obama says he's a Christian, he was a Muslim. I don't care what the hell he is. All right, all I care is that, you know, is he legal or isn't he legal? Okay, and there's been a lot of questions that point to the fact that he's not a legal alien.
We have several things.
A legal, a naturalized citizen.
Right. You have no legitimate birth certificate.
Right.
You have no really legitimate parents. But it's also true that there's subterfuge in claiming to buddy up to the people, claiming to be a church going, and then finding out that the person is not what you say you are. It is an issue because of the cloaking, the faking.
Okay, so what is it that he is faking?
Well, he's not a Christian person, okay? He's not a Muslim person. Barack Obama has stated privately with big-time Jewish fundraisers that he's Jewish. If you think about it, now this is a very important revelation because of the cloaking. This is not about A or B or C against each other. This is not an issue of monotheistic Jews, monotheistic Christians, monotheistic Muslims on whatever bend you think it is. Or, you know, I know you're going to get emails complaining, so let's nix that right now. It's about doing this like was done with the Shah, making him out as if he's one of the people, and he's persecuting the people. You got the drift?
Mm-hmm. I do, and I...
Coup. We call that a coup d'etat.
Well, we had the coup with the neocons, but now we got the coup with this guy.
Right.
My only real question, I have a lot of doubts about Obama. I always have, and I've had him for 2 years. But the majority of the things that he's done so far, all right, seem to make sense and seem to be I don't know if they're Jewish or non-Jewish, but it seems, other than his appointment of Rahm Emanuel, which kind of gave you red flags all over the place, his actions toward the Middle East right now, his actions toward that he's done with other things, he seems like he's kind of a...
he's fulfilling his campaign promises.
Yeah. Well,
what he made on the campaign trail.
But he's made some bold moves already.
How can he authorize anything if he's a foreign national? Okay. How can you give credence? I mean, closing Guantanamo, it should have never been opened.
Well, how could you give credence to a criminal like Bush? They gave it to him for the last 8 years, okay? And, that man should never have been given...
Whether his election or this one, aren't they both based on a similar fraud?
He shouldn't have been given a knife to cut meat, but he was given the governorship of Texas and then the presidency.
Let's just go back to the fact that you're saying that Obama is not legally the president because there's no birth certificate. Is that what you're saying? Or the birth certificate was forged? I assumed that there was a birth certificate.
Birth certificate is not valid.
Or the birth certificate is not valid. Who is saying that?
The issue is, remember the oath?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. A person couldn't even publicly take an oath. There are a lot. You cannot look at a man's eyes and face and tell what he is. You can't look at the pompous. How can you tell by the hoop to do? I mean, if you had to rely on the show, we would assume that 19 Arabs with box cutters and, you know, cash sewn in the socks. So if you can just look out of the box a little bit, look behind the scenes, you have a person who has no certificate where he was born, no hospital document where he was born. You don't have a father that you can definitively say. You don't have a mother that you can say is for sure his mother. You don't even have a nation of origin. And it got this far already, even so far that he's got rulership authority.
Right.
And what's the surprise? You have the Protocols of Zion, which state that we will put our own key person in power who will be completely compromised and will have to submit to what we dictate.
Right.
And it was the case with George Bush, as you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
It was the case with Bill Clinton, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to understand that we'll put our own people in. And if you look at Bill Clinton and you see that he may well have been the illegitimate offspring of a Rockefeller, okay? And when you look at Barack Obama and you don't have a father and a mother, then you have to start looking at some other possibilities. And you look at Don Nikoloff's work, where he has documented the Three Stooges come to Washington in great detail, the fraudulent nature of this. But here I'm just trying to, you know, create the picture so we can understand why they would go through this.
Okay.
The handler of Barack Obama, His Excellency the President, but he can't be a president because he's not a citizen, so I don't know what to say. But now, his handler is Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Mm-hmm.
Brzezinski is the author of, as you know, The Grand Chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a more definitive plan than George Bush on how the Middle East and the Caspian Sea can be completely conquered, because Brzezinski is an agent of very, very wealthy people. You cannot get in that position, and George Soros, as you know, was involved with the Obama campaign.
Mm-hmm.
$1 billion spent.
Yeah.
We're talking money laundering, we're talking obfuscation, we're talking deceit. I don't care what kind of label you put on it any more than you do, for example, Leo. But this is the reality of what Americans are sucked into. Oh, he's going to close Guantanamo. I'm supposed to praise him for that?
Where do you think we're headed then?
Well, you're headed to a police state. Not only that, You're headed to a, we're headed to a attempt to take a new tactic to conquering the Middle East. The new tactic that the Zionist masters have conceived is to take out the nuclear aspect of Pakistan, completely conquer that region, stop the resistance in Afghanistan by major acceleration of a military campaign there.
They were going to put 30,000 more troops.
It's as if killing 1.5 million Iraqis is not enough. We have to now match that and kill 1.5 million innocent Afghans. And then to surround Iran, as Rockefeller said, Iran's the problem, right? And then don't think that the Iran's rulers are assets of the CIA people. The Israelis despise Iran. They have nothing but venom. They wish to nuke it and nuke it and nuke it without any regard to the fact that drift will kill them as well.
Now, that's the amazing part. You know, they don't realize that it will kill them.
This is a plot by the Zionist. This is a plot by the criminal Jewish order, not just Zionism, because the money that feeds it comes from American Jews, from Russian Jews. It's a global plot, and they love the Goyim thing because the Christian just sucks right into this, and he thinks it's going to be Armageddon, and somehow he forgets about the New Testament, and he just goes with the Old Testament. He forgets about Jesus, and would Jesus agree with this? How can anybody argue that? Would Jesus agree with killing these innocents on the basis of a plot by, the billionaires and these very, very powerful people who think we're just to be manipulated? Don't forget what Nick Rockefeller said. He said that the Christians of America are serfs. Why should we do anything for them? They just should pay the money, and they're nothing. They're serfs. They need to be ruled. They shouldn't even have a constitution. The constitution's not for them, Nick Rockefeller. It's for us.
Look, and I have to ask you a question. It's not part of this, not to change the subject, but I just wanted to, before the end of the show, I've been wondering, does North American Urban Spice have a non-fluoridated toothpaste or mouthwash?
You know what? It's called a Regadent.
A Regadent. I've used that. Okay, that's
a Regadent is the best because you can add it to your baking soda and all of that. And so that's like a topical thing. Yeah.
Okay, because that fluoride, I mean, it was a Nazi drug for crying out loud.
That's dumbing us all down.
Yeah. So.
There's no look. The protocols of Zion also state, and don't think it's a fraud. That's a spin by the Zionist cartel. It states that we will use inoculations to weaken the populace. We need to, and Kissinger said this, as you know, in his memorandum in 1978. Said we need to use every tactic possible to denude the masses, especially in the third world countries, knock them down as much as we can because we don't want them rebelling and throwing us out.
Yeah.
All he is a proxy agent for Rothschild Rockefeller. That's it. You know, he's a spy. He's a dual agent. We have assessed Kissinger. You know, in the new book that's been sent to the press, we've assessed him.
Is Rahm Emanuel a spy?
Rahm Emanuel is a Mossad mole.
All right.
You have a dual national.
Yep.
Is he the secretary of...
he's the chief of staff.
He's the chief of staff.
Probably the person closest to Obama.
Rahm Emanuel is a buddy of Obama for quite some time, as you know, in Chicago.
Right.
One would have to be somewhat suspicious as to what exactly the relationship is, but one thing that is true is that you know for sure that Rahm Emanuel's Mossad agent, which he's a Jewish terrorist. Let's make it real easy.
His father was a Jewish terrorist.
His father was a Jewish terrorist. It's simple.
Right.
Not mechanical here. Now, to prove that this is true, as I've been speaking out on that, what happens to me? Somebody breaks into my house.
Really?
Not my house, the place I'm staying. Okay, this is it's a business-related facility, but I happen to be doing some work out of here. They break in. They don't take anything. They plant something. We haven't figured it out yet. But they planted something, yeah? And it's a big building. So now the Geiger counters are coming in and, some other things. But, they could have stolen. There was obvious things of some, value that could have been stolen. Nothing was taken, yeah?
Right.
And it was somebody staking the place out.
And then planting a bug or something.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. So, I mean, these spies...
They don't stop at anything.
No, they don't. They've infiltrated the entire country. I call on our military that are listening. You're infiltrated. Our job is to protect the country from tyrants, domestic or foreign. And our police are now looking into this. You see, they're completely convinced, some of them, that this is corrupt. They caught those Zionist agents blowing up the World Trade Center, and they were forced to let them go. The sheriff down in Irwin, Tennessee, in that area,
right.
he caught those Mossad agents trying to do something to a nuclear plant. The FBI came in and forced them to be released.
Right.
So our police and our sheriff, I call on them to be alert, because this is a continuous thing. And now when you have a Mossad mole as the chief of staff, now who do you think the president is? Is he some, you know...
Well, he's obviously the head of the president of Israel.
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's the...
We would have to assume that.
Yeah, we are...
Axelrod?
Yeah.
I mean, the list is exceptional.
It's endless, yeah.
And the American people, of course...
I do.
They stole Rod... You're dealing with a pack of thieves. That was Ron Paul's campaign. It was changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Look, I want to... we're at the end of our show, but I'd like to have you back on to talk about this as soon as you're available.
We can do everything we can. And
yeah, I can talk to you later and see if we can have you back next week. I'd love to be able to follow this up. Half hour's not enough time.
Yeah.
So if that's amenable to you.
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right.
Okay.
We will definitely have you on next week as a part two.
Part two.
Part two and rock and roll, people.
All right.
Okay.
You can get Dr. Cass Ingram's books at knowledgehousepublishing.com.
Yep, that's Wrongly Blamed, and also The Secret Scripture They Don't Want You to Know About. And don't forget
that
I have some information to prove who did 911 so that, you know, you have no doubt.
We'll be talking about that next week.
Time, yeah.
All right, so thanks so much, and talk to you next week.
All right, bye.
Okay, good night. That was Dr. Cass Ingram talking to us about Wrongly Blamed and the fraud of Islamic terror.
Right.
And we're right to the end of our show, so we want to say thank you for being with us.
Yeah.
And shall we sing our way up?
All right, and I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. Tomorrow night we will be canceled. Ling, tomorrow night I have a meeting with Russell Mean, the Indian activist who's working here in Connecticut, helping out the Scaticoat Indian tribe, tribal nation rather, and they have a protest tomorrow at the Capitol building they were denied their charter, we're protesting that, of course. I should have an interview possibly next week with him, a recorded interview, we hope. But I'll be meeting with him tomorrow night at a certain gathering, and also with a few, Chief Valky and, of course, Gail Townsing. I want to thank her for putting that gathering together. And that's our show tonight. Tomorrow night will be canceled, but Friday night we're going to be here with George. I hope you can make it, George Dixon, Friday night. Tell your friends about it. Hope you enjoyed this show. And if you can, check out knowledgehousepublishing.com and check out Dr. Cass Ingram's books. Talk to you later. Thanks for joining me, and good night.